Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you for the kindness you've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus, I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed you, so help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hands. Try me, Lord, if you think there's a way I can try to repay all I've taken from you. Maybe, Lord, I can show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to you. Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus, I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed you, so help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hands. Jesus, my soul's in your hands.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's Old Testament scripture is from 2 Samuel 11, 1 to 15, and it's found on page 284. Page 284. In the spring of the year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab with his officers and all Israel with him. They ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah. But David remained at Jerusalem. It happened late one afternoon when David rose from his couch and was walking about on the roof of the king's house that he saw from the roof a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. David sent someone to inquire about the woman. It was reported, "This is Bathsheba, daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite." So David sent messengers to get her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. Now she was purifying herself after her period. Then she returned to her house. The woman conceived, and she sent and told David, "I am pregnant." So David sent word to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked how Joab and the people fared, and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." Uriah went out of the king's house, and there followed him a present from the king. But Uriah slept at the entrance of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and did not go down to his house. When they told David, Uriah did not go down to his house. David said to Uriah, "You have just come from a journey. Why did you not go down to your house?" Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah remain in booths, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are camping in the open field. Shall I then go to my house to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As you live, and as your soul lives, I will not do such a thing." Then David said to Uriah, "Remain here today also, and tomorrow I will send you back." So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day. On the next day, David invited him to eat and drink in his presence and made him drunk. And in the evening, he went out to lie on his couch with the servants of his lord, but he did not go down to his house. In the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. In the letter, he wrote, "Set Uriah in the forefront of the hardest fighting, and then draw back from him so that he may be struck down and die." And the New Testament reading is from Ephesians chapter 3. We're going to start with verse 13 to 21. And that is that is on page 193 in the New Testament. Page 193. "I pray, therefore, that you may not lose heart over my sufferings for you. They are your glory. For this reason, I bow my knee before the Lord, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." The word of the Lord for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Wow. This isn't the first time you've read that story about David, nor the first time you've heard about Bathsheba. But how could someone that whose heart was after the Lord be so deceitful, to be outright cruel, not just selfish? And read how the prophet takes him to task for that and what he ends up suffering because of that. You know, Uriah is killed, slain, because of what David wanted. David, one who was after a man after God's own heart, was not without sin, was not without fault. And even though in this instance and this situation, he was as far from doing God's will as anyone could get, and yet still, when he goes into the Ark of the Covenant, when he goes into the Holy of Holies, is on his knees praying and sobbing with a contrite heart, he asks for forgiveness, and God forgives him. the son that he and Bathsheba have conceived dies. But God forgives him and blesses him with sons and a future. Why? Because he was perfect? No. Because when it was said and done, he always came back to his heart, and his heart was with God. That's the lesson. Tough lesson. Difficult lesson. Certainly a confusing lesson at times. And then we go to Paul. In his letter to the Ephesians, again, as we know with most of Paul's writings, they're to a particular church or a particular area for a particular purpose and a particular time. And last week we were dealing with divisions between the Gentiles and the Jews, and how some thought you had to be physically circumcised to really be a good Christian. Well, all right, well, they weren't called Christians yet. They were called followers of the way. Why were they called followers of the way? This is a bonus question. Why were they called followers of the way? Because they followed Jesus. And what did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father but by me. So, they weren't necessarily called Christians in that day and time. They were called followers of the way. Well, what does that mean? It doesn't mean you're perfect. It means you're following the path that Jesus has put before you, that we're loving one another just as Jesus loved us. But first and foremost, we're doing what? Loving our God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, and our neighbor by ourselves. Because then we're fulfilling the commandments that are given. Paul has been shipwrecked. He's been put in prison many times. He's been beaten. He's been stoned. List the times and challenges that he faced, and I dare say there's plenty. But in each and every one, God is with him and is there. You know, just as he said, you know, he gave me this sliver or this thorn to keep me humble. Prayed three times to have it taken away. And Lord told him what? I'm not going to take it away from you, but my grace is sufficient for thee. Tough times? A lot of people have them. Even in the toughest time, God's grace is sufficient for you. Now, I know it, when you're in the depth of the valley and the darkness and the shadow, that may not comfort you all that much. But it's enough. Because it's God. And he'll get you through it. And if he doesn't get you through that, he's got a better place for you. Paul is saying, I pray therefore that you may not lose heart over my sufferings for you. They are your glory. He's had all of these things happen to him. And he's saying, look, don't lose heart. He continues, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. Now, some translations read all fatherhood because it's a community. Remember last week I was talking about we're all in this together. God loves all of us. Whether you agree with everybody or you disagree with those people or you just can't seem to get along, you don't like their political leanings, you don't like what they said, you don't like the way they look, you don't like the way they dress, guess what? Yeah. We're called to love one another. Now, sometimes that means we disagree. I mean, goodness gracious, my older brother and I fought tooth and nail for years and years and years. And today there's not a day that goes by that I don't miss it. But I'm going to see him again. God wants us to, whether or not we agree or not, we love each other. Goodness gracious. This vitriol, this anger, this hate. And then they say, we're not about hate, it's the other guy that's hating. It's like, whoa, did you guys look in the mirror this morning? Watch that playback. Who's the one that's being angry and vicious and hateful? I don't care what kind of a cap he has. I don't care what kind of a hat. I don't care what the hat says. There's no reason to throw a drink in his face. Paul says, for this reason I bow my knees before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through His Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts for faith and your being rooted and grounded in love. Not hate! Love. People who love each other can disagree. Show of hands, guys. How many of us are married? Hands. Okay. Now, everybody always agrees? Do you stop loving? There endeth the lesson. What was that, Cheryl? Run later. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. I want you to write this in your bulletin. I want you to go home sometime this weekend and look up Romans 8, verses 38 through 39. Now, you talk about love. There's no height. There's no place on heaven, no place on earth that can separate you from the love of God through whom? Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Now, Ronnie, you and I occasionally have made errors. I can't say that word either. Neither could Fonzie. They're errors. And there are times when our loving, wonderful, caring spouses don't agree with us. Generally because we're wrong. But love is the uniting force. Love is what keeps us together. Love is what gives us hope. Now, as much as you love Ronnie, as much as you love Cheryl, as much as I love Terry, as much as any one of us loves anyone else, Chuck.
Yes, dear.
No matter how mean you think they are, it's called love. No matter how deep your love is, no matter how fine and wonderful any of our earthly loves are, God the Father's love for us exceeds that by a magnitude that's immeasurable. Why else would He hang on a cross for 6 hours after having been beaten and bled and shredded and then forced to carry the cross to Golgotha? You talk about love? You talk about what someone's willing to pay for you and for me? And there have been some really bad people before me, and there are going to be some really bad people after me. And two guys were hanging on a cross right next to Jesus. And one of them said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And what did Jesus tell him? Not that, you know, you're forgiven for all that you've done. He said, today you'll be with me. Where? In paradise. It doesn't get any better than that. Now that's love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with what? The fullness of God. The whole point of Him going to the cross is so that we realize that without the cross, we don't get God. Without the cross, without Christ, without God, we don't get eternal life. That anything else absent Him is something less than. I don't know about you. Anybody got a loved one who's passed before you? Want to see him? Want to see him? Well, guess what? You get right with God. You get right with Jesus. You get right with the Holy Spirit. And you will see them. But if you aren't right with God, if you're running as fast as you can away, I hope and pray that you reach a moment when you turn around and head back. Now, to Him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Y'all just get along. Doesn't mean you have to agree. Shalom.